Deuteronomy. We're going to look in a couple of verses there, and then we'll start off from there and allow the Holy Spirit of God to just lead this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 32, Deuteronomy chapter 32. We'll look at verse number 4. Beginning in verse 4, we see it says, the Word of God says, He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. And then come down to, it's still in Deuteronomy 32, but we want to look at verse 31. It says, For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. Now, I'm going to preach on that thought this morning. Their rock is not as our rock. But before we do that, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You this morning for the Word of God, the King James Bible that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, we just pray that Your Word would go out this morning and not return void. Father, I pray that You'd empty myself of my flesh this morning, allow the Holy Spirit to fill me, because in that way, people won't be disappointed, Father. But if I'm full of myself, Lord, we won't hear from You. Father, we just pray for a mighty message from Thee this morning, because You're a mighty God. Meet with us in a mighty way. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. What we have basically here in chapter 32 of Deuteronomy is Moses is dealing specifically with the differences between the God of Israel and the God of the people, the lands that they have taken over, and the lands of the people that they have passed through, and of course the gods of Egypt as well. He makes the statement, their rock, in other words, their rock or their gods is not as our rock, our God, even our enemies being judges, being able to tell the difference. In other words, even the enemies that they went through, the lands that they conquered, could see the difference between their gods, a little small g, and the God of Israel. Notice how one rock has their rock, or the heathen's rock, has a lowercase r. And the other rock has a capital R, the God of Israel, is an uppercase R, a capitalized R in the King James Bible. The scriptures are making a difference on purpose. There's no accidents in God where one rock has a capital R and one rock has a small r. The rock is the rock, the Lord God, and the other rock is a cheap imitation, a cheap imitation. You know, we talk about rocks, and we know sometimes women like to call diamonds rocks, and we know that women are very good about this. They know the difference between a real diamond and a zirconium. The real diamond it will cut glass, and the other things are phony. So the other rock, or the gods of the heathens, are a cheap imitation of the real rock. What applied to the children of Israel, we know the Old Testament applies some of the things that apply to Israel most of the time. But those things in the Old Testament are for us to learn from them, for our admonition, it tells us in Romans. But we can also apply the same thing as was applied to the children of Israel as can apply to the Christian or the child of God today. You see, first of all, that Jesus Christ claimed to be the Jehovah God of the Old Testament. I know that upsets the Jehovah Witnesses, but Jesus Christ was the Jehovah God of the Old Testament. How do we know that? Because the Scriptures. We see over in Exodus chapter 3, when the Lord God was talking to Moses, He said, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And He said, Thus shall thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. You know, Moses wanted to say, What's your name? Who should I tell the children of Israel that sent me to them? And God says, Tell them, I am hath sent me unto you. Well, that's very interesting, because if we turn over to John, the Gospel of John, in chapter 8, we see Jesus tells the religious crowd of that day something very interesting. In John chapter 8, we see, beginning in verse 53, as the religious crowd of the day is always trying to trap Jesus and get him, you know, to give out an answer that they can catch him on. It begins in chapter 8 of the Gospel of John in verse 53. We begin reading and it says, Thou art greater than our father Abraham, which is dead. The prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and how hast thou seen Abraham? They were perplexed. They were saying to Jesus, you're not even 50 years old, and how can you claim to have seen Abraham? Then look at what Jesus says in verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I am. So we see the same I am in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. The same I am, the God Jehovah here, Jesus Christ, in the Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 58. Paul the Apostle specifically identifies the rock of the Old Testament. He makes it very clear, makes it very easy for anyone to understand. Over in 1 Corinthians this morning in chapter 10, Paul the Apostle had this to say. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1, Paul said, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat. Here it comes in verse 4 now. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And that rock was Christ. So Paul tells us who this morning the rock is. So today the Christian has the same rock that the children of Israel had in the Old Testament. They have the Lord God, the Jehovah God, the Lord Jesus Christ is our rock. And the world today, which is a type of Egypt, still has that same rock and still worships the same gods and gods as did the people of the land that Israel conquered and possessed in the Old Testament. The world's rock is none other than that accuser of the brethren, the power of the prince of the air, the god of this world. He's none other than Satan. And don't you be deceived, because he's transformed to look like the real thing. You know, he's transformed to look like the real thing. Paul told us in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 11, he's had this to say. He says, wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Who do you think appeared to Eve in that garden? Some little guy, red guy with a pitchfork and ears and, you know, dressed up in a trick-or-treat outfit? No way. He was transformed as an angel of light. An angel of light. And this is the God that people are worshiping. And he's right in our churches today. The majority of our churches today are being led by that angel of light, the God of this world, Satan, Lucifer. But this morning, we're not going to talk about him. This morning, we want to see why you and I, the children of God, the Christian, has the real, capital R, capital O, capital C, capital K, the rock in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to see that, why you and I have the real thing, the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, we want to see that our rock is a smitten rock. Our rock, number one, is a smitten rock. Turn with me to Exodus. Exodus chapter 17. And we all probably remember the account of Moses in Exodus chapter 17. We see that the children in Israel are in need of water. They're in the wilderness. They need water, just like I'm having water right now. And all the congregation, it says, in beginning in Exodus 17, 1, all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after the journey according to the commandments of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. And of course, they started complaining, just like you and I do, you know, when we don't have something we want or need or whatever. It says, wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide you with me? Therefore do ye tempt the Lord. You know, these people had just, you know, walked across the Red Sea on dry land. You know, the waters were piled up on either side of them. And now they're with no water, and they think God can't provide it, you know, after seeing all these other things. And then we see that God tells Moses, Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. In other words, here's the man of God, the deliverer, who God used to get him out of Egypt, take him across that dry land, and now they're ready to stone the poor guy. Boy, how people forget. That's how Christians are, today, too. They're ready to stone their pastor when they can't understand something and they're not want to wait on the Lord, or let the Lord work in their lives. And then we see the instructions God gives them. He says in verse 5, and the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand, and go. And then in verse 6, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So we see then that to get water, the Lord God told Moses, take your rod and smote the rock. Hit the rock with the rod. What we see here then is a picture for you and I is the believer's salvation in this age. The rock pictures Jesus Christ. The rock pictures Jesus Christ. The smiting of the rock pictures our Lord's crucifixion. Moses' rod pictures God's wrath being poured out on sin. So we see here then the picture of Moses smiting this rock is our salvation in Jesus Christ, his crucifixion. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us concerning Christ, for he, God the Father, made him, God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus Christ was made sin for you and I, and the wrath of God the Father's poured out on sin was poured out on the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, it should have been poured out on you and I. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins. Jesus Christ bared our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So we see then that the smiting of the rock pictures our salvation in Jesus Christ, pictures his crucifixion for our sins. Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah the prophet, we see he speaks of a smitten Savior. In Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah tells us, he says in verse number 4, he says about Jesus Christ, he says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. So when Moses struck the rock, when he hit that rock with the rod, as the Lord God told him, that pictures for you and I, Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ's crucifixion, our salvation in him. His dying on that cross for all of our sins, past, present, and future. We see, though, in Numbers chapter 20, the children of Israel are faced again with the same problem. There's no water. They're in the wilderness. And as typical of God's people who walk by sight and not by faith, the children of Israel complain. That's how you and I, complain. We want to understand and see everything. We don't want to walk by the faith. We want to walk by the sight. We want to see some miracle transform. We want to see someone babble off in tongues and writhe and rattle on the carpet on the floor or something. Or we want to go to Mishagori, to Yugoslavia, to see some manifestation of whatever. But in Numbers chapter 20, if you turn there with me, Numbers chapter 20, we see that the children of Israel come up again, the same situation. There's no water. There's no water in the tap. They turn on the tap and it's empty. And they're wondering what's going on. Look at Numbers 20, verse 7 with me. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. See, this time we want to see that he tells him to speak to the rock and not to smite the rock. And it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts to drink, to drink. And so we see then Lord's instruction. Let's see how Moses follows those instructions, beginning in verse 9. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand with his rod, he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. So we see then, Moses was disobedient. God told him to just speak to the rock, but he smote it again. He smote the rock again. And then we see, as a result of his disobedience, in verse 12, And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. So can you imagine that? Moses, after leading these people, was not going to bring the people into the promised land. What a picture for you and I on this thing about being disobedient. He missed out on one of the greatest blessings, to bring the children of Israel into the promised land. You and I, Christian, when we're disobedient to God, are going to miss out on a bunch of blessings. But what we want to see here in connection also, and tied to the speaking to the rock, what this when Moses smote that rock again the second time, and he wasn't supposed to, what this pitches to you and I, or is like crucifying or sacrificing Christ afresh, like the Catholics do each time the Mass is conducted. So when he you know, we're already saved. We don't have to come and whack the rock again. He doesn't have to be crucified over and over and over again. He's done it once, and that's all he had to do it for. But what the speaking of the rock speaks to you and I, or pitches, is the believer in this age who's to come to the rock after he's saved, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he sins, and ask for forgiveness, and ask for cleansing, and ask for, you know, and it speaks of the sanctification process that goes on in our lives. That's what speaking to the rock. We don't have to come and sacrifice Jesus again. We don't have to pray and get saved again. He's done it once. We only have to call upon his name once to be saved. So we see then, number one this morning, the reason the Lord Jesus Christ is the rock is because, number one, he's the smitten rock. He was smitten for you and I, for all of mankind, and for those who would trust in him as Lord and Savior for salvation. So the smitten rock pictures salvation to the believer. Number two, our rock is the rock because our rock is the source rock. He's not only the smitten rock, but he's also the source rock. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is our smitten rock, he is also our source rock. The source of life. The source of life. From his death came life. From his death at Calvary, from his shed blood, for his death, his burial, and resurrection, came everlasting life for you and I, for those who will call upon his name. We see each time the rock was smitten, water came from the rock. Each time, even when he disobeyed him, water came from the rock. It provided the children of Israel water, physical water, like this water in this glass, which was essential for their physical life. You and I know if we don't have water, you know, we'll get, after a few days, we can live so many days, and then we're going to dehydrate and die. So that water in that wilderness was very important for the children of Israel to continue their physical life. Over in the Gospel of John, in chapter 4, the Gospel of John in chapter 4, we see the Lord Jesus Christ dealing with this, the woman of Samaritan at the well, the woman of Samaria at the well. And we want to read in chapter 4 of John, verse 10. It said, Jesus had answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would give, and he would have given thee living water. Then the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, the well is deep. From whence thou then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof, and himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, meaning the physical water. Jesus answered, But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus said in verse 14, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Our rock is the source of everlasting life, salvation. Just as that water that was provided from the smitten rock in the wilderness provided the children of Israel physical life, so does in our smitten rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, give all those that will call upon his name everlasting life. A well of water, it says, springing into everlasting life. Our rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, then, is a source of everlasting life, salvation. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, In him was life. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus Christ is the source rock. He's the source of all life. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. When a person receives the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior, they receive the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit. We read about this in the Gospel of John in chapter 7 and verse 37. Jesus says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they believed on him, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So that water also not only speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ giving us everlasting life, but we see that also that water pictures that came from the rock pictures the Holy Spirit that each believer gets. A person, according to Ephesians chapter 2, who was not saved, was once dead in trespasses and sin, but is made alive or quickened by the Spirit of God. That person is born again of the Spirit, experiences the new birth, which they receive when they receive the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior. We started out in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and in that chapter of Deuteronomy 32, in verse 18, it says, Of the rock that beget thee. See, the Lord Jesus Christ also is a begetting rock. By receiving the source rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a personal Savior, we are begotten of God. We are begotten of God. John, the Gospel of John, tells us in verse 12, chapter 1, But many as received him, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And then it goes on, it says in verse 13, Which were born not of blood, you know, a physical birth, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Jesus Christ also is the begetting rock. He's the source of life. We're also told the water that comes from the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, is given freely. There's no strings attached. There's nothing that you and I can do. It comes freely. Over the book of Revelations in verse 17, John the Apostle said, In the Spirit, And the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will come to the rock, can take of this water this morning freely. It's free. It's a free gift. You know, it's interesting. We just read in Numbers chapter 20, verse 11, when Moses smote the rock a second time, we are told that the water came out abundantly, didn't it? Doesn't this remind you of what Jesus said in John 10:10? He said, I've come that they might have life, and that they might have life, what? More abundantly. No accidents with God, that Numbers 20:11 has that word abundantly. The water came out abundantly. He has given, come to give us abundant, give us life and give it to us abundantly. This speaks of the spiritual life, this abundant life speaks of the spiritual life or fellowship that you and I can have with the source rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that our rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the source rock, because although all those who receive him as personal Savior receive, number one, everlasting life. Number two, we receive the rivers of living water, the Holy Ghost, to dwell inside of us permanently. And number three, abundant life through fellowship with him. Christian, this morning, if you're not having abundant life with the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's your fault. He has promised to give you life and to give it abundantly. But maybe because you're not having abundant life with him today, praise God, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. But maybe you're not having that abundant life because sin has gotten in the way. You know, the Lord God told us in the book of Psalms, he told us in Psalm 66, verse 18, the Lord says, if I regard iniquity, talking about you and I, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You can't have fellowship with God and have fellowship with the world. It's only one or the other. You can't serve two masters. Either you're going to love the one and hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The reason today Christians are not having abundant life is because they've got sin. They've got sin in their life. They've got fellowship with the world. The Bible says if you're a friend of the world, then you're an enemy of God. So far we're seeing then that our rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the rock because it's a smitten rock. Amen. It's the source rock, the source of all life. And finally, number three, our rock is the rock because it is a solid rock. You know, I love the hymn in here that we sing, the solid rock. It says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And then the chorus goes, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Our rock is the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our foundation on which to build upon. We know over there in Matthew 16:18. Chapter 16, verse 18, verse of scripture that the Roman Catholic Church likes to build a papacy about. The church is built upon, you know, St. Peter. It says in Matthew 16, verse 18, it says, I say unto thee, Jesus is speaking, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said that the church was to be built upon him. The church was to be built upon him and not Peter. But the Roman Catholic Church take this verse, Matthew 16:18, and say the church is built on the Apostle Peter. You know what's amazing? As we go through the Bible, there's nowhere in here that shows that Peter was ever in Rome. We know in Paul's epistle to the Romans, when he's greeting and he's all the people that he's talking to in Rome, Peter's not mentioned there. And furthermore, Peter's name has nothing to do with the rock. Peter's name has nothing to do with the rock. In fact, over in the Gospel of John, Peter's name is defined for us. Peter's name is defined for us. In 1 John chapter 42, it says, and he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Praise God, my church is not built on a stone, but my church, praise God, right now, my foundation right now, my foundation of my faith is built upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning. The body of Christ, the church, the household of God, is to be built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We see over in Ephesians this morning, chapter 2, and verse 19, It says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." So we see then, Jew and Gentile are in one body. One body. We're no longer separated. Because Jesus Christ died on that cross, he took away that middle wall, that middle partition, and all can come into one body if they'll call upon his name. And the church, the foundation of the church, the body of Christ, is built upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is also our foundation to build our service upon as Christians. Paul talked about this in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul said, beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10, he said, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon." Now he says, listen up now. Take heed on what you build upon. And he says in verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Christian, that's your foundation. That is your foundation this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ is your foundation. And he goes on and he says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So we see then, Paul says, first of all, our spiritual foundation is to be built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes in and he describes the type of services, the service that you and I have to build upon with. There's one group that's called gold, silver, and precious stones, and we think about those. Those are things that last. And then there's wood, hay, and stubble. Those are services that won't last. And we get up at the judgment seat of Christ, will be tried by fire. But we have to realize that our service, our church, our faith is all built upon the solid rock, the foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the solid rock. He is our cornerstone. He is our cornerstone. He became the cornerstone of the church. Why did he do that? Well, because the nation of Israel, the builders, when he first came, rejected him. He was rejected at the first coming. And in this age, he has become the head of the corner. He's calling himself out because the Jews have rejected. He's put the Jews on the shelf because the Jews have rejected him. He's put them on a shelf for a while. He's going to continue to work with them after this church age is over. But he's calling out a church, a bride of Christ, made up of Jew and Gentile in one body. And it's all based upon this body of his, this body of Christ. This church is based upon only those who are trusting in his shed blood and nothing else to save them. Jesus Christ plus or minus nothing. To the Christian, our rock is the smitten rock, the source rock. If you think about it, he's the source rock. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is the life. He is the source of all life. And he's also the solid rock, our foundation on which to build upon and our faith stands upon. That's the most important thing for you and I to understand this morning. That unless we build our lives on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't care what else you build on, family, prestige, business, I don't care what else you build it on, if you don't build it on the person of Jesus Christ, the time will come in your life when it will fall from out from under you. Absolute nothing will mean anything to you unless you build your life on the person of Christ. Now, we looked at our rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our rock, amen, is the smitten rock, the source rock, the solid rock. Let's look at their rock, the unsaved. To the unsaved, our rock is, according to 1 Peter 2:8, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. We read in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, it says in verse 42 and 44 through 44, "And Jesus said unto them, Did you never hear in the Scriptures? Did you never read in the Scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. That is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof." And that other nation is the royal priesthood, talked about in 1 Peter chapter 2, 9. That's you and I, the body of Christ, the royal priesthood. Then he says, "Whosoever shall fall upon the stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to a powder." In other words, if you don't come and fall upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock is going to come and fall upon you and grind you into powder. Because their rock is not our rock, the preaching of our rock is foolishness to them because they perish. What is their rock? Their rock is evolution. That's who they're resting upon. Their rock, their foundation is evolution, which basically says that man is getting better and better, he's evolving, and someday soon we're going to solve our problems. Hey, man's had it. The ball has been in man's court for the last 6,000 years, and he has just messed it up royally. Just look around you. Things aren't getting worse. Not getting better, they're getting worse. People are afraid to come out of the houses at night. Their rock is called psychotherapy, Christian counseling, self-help groups, all of these things that rely on anything else but God and the Son of God to help them. They're everything that glorifies man and lifts up man. Their God is Sigmund Freud, a rotten, dirty sinner, Sigmund Freud. All of these people with theories are all man sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what their rock is, man, man. Their rock is called situation ethics. For example, something is bad for one person, it could be good for someone else. In other words, don't judge or put your values on anyone else. You know, just let people do what they want to do. You know, no authority. Let everything go. Do it like it is. No, their rock is if it feels good, do it. That's what their rock is. You know, there is no authority. Their rock is Social Security. Their rock is the U.S. welfare system. Their rock is atheism. Did you hear about the atheist? He has a line, it's called dial a prayer. When he dials a number, no one answers. Their rock is AA. AA. Alcoholics Anonymous. Yes, they use some buzzwords as a higher power and so forth and so on. But what they don't tell people, it's only the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's only by the grace of God that they can get rid of this sin in their life. It's not a disease. Can you imagine they call alcohol or being a drunk a disease? It's the only disease that we get a federal tax on. It's an only disease that it's okay, you know, that they have places where you can distribute it. You know, it's not against the law, amen? What is their rock reaped? What is the rock of their rock reaped? Their rock has reaped abortions, teenage pregnancies. The suicide rate is higher than it's ever been. The plague of AIDS. The plague of hopelessness. There's no hope. There's no hope. There is no hope. There is no hope. That's why I love that song again. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I praise God that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ's blood and righteousness. What's your hope built on this morning? What is their rock reaped? It's reaped divorce. You know, it's like at least 50%, one out of two marriages end up in divorce. Look at all that's reaped domestic violence. That's all you hear today. You know, wives, husbands beating up on their wives and their children and so forth and so on. Homosexuality is rampant. You know, hey, that's just an alternative lifestyle. It's, you know, there's nothing wrong with it anymore. Even now the psychiatrists are not calling it a disease or a thing or anymore. It's nothing wrong with it. It's cool. You know, it's all right. But we forget that Jesus, the Lord God, destroyed a whole city, Sodom, because of homosexuality, and he's going to do it in America if we keep it up. It's also reaped drugs. It's also reaped murder. And Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death. That's what it's reaped. Death. 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 Yeah, I know we all have to physically die, but it's reaping eternal death, eternal spiritual death in a lake of fire. It says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is what their rock has reaped. A lake of fire for eternity. What has our rock reaped? The Lord Jesus Christ we have, if you're a Christian today, it's reaped a joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's reaped a peace that passes all understanding. Amen. It's a lasting peace. It's a peace that's free. It's also reaped. If you're truly saved, you're a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if you are in Christ today, he says, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I tried for many years to give up smoking. I couldn't until Jesus took it. Many testimonies, whatever you're struggling with, there's no problem too big for Jesus that he can't handle. Casting all your cares upon him because he careth for you. He's got the broadest shoulders that you've ever seen. He wants that. He wants that today. He wants to take that from you, whatever it is. Come unto me, he says, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Change lives is what's reaped through the rock. Also, newness of life is reaped through the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told over in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, therefore, we are buried with him by the baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Our steps are a little bit lighter because we're saved, because we're resting upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Christians shouldn't crack up. You know, the rock doesn't reap nervous breakdowns. Their rock reaps nervous breakdowns, but not ours. In 2 Timothy, in chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. God has given you a sound mind, a spirit of love and of a sound mind. If you have fear in your life, you know who's putting it there? The author of fear, the author of confusion, the devil. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. If you have the spirit of fear this morning, it's not coming from God. It's coming from Satan, because our rock has reaped the spirit, the power of love and of a sound mind. That's what our rock has reaped. The power of love and of a sound mind. What has our rock reaped? We've also reaped from our rock the